Time now for another Future Sox podcast. I'm your host, Clinton Cole. Joining me on Skype down in North Carolina, it is Sox outfield prospect Steele Walker. Steele, we did one, I think, this winter, but thanks again for joining me, man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, man.
So how was your, before we get into things, how was your 4th of July?
It was good. Great crowd showed up at the game last night, brought a wonderful atmosphere. Obviously, wish we could have gotten a win. But that's how baseball goes. We got another one tonight. But the festivities were awesome. The environment was great. It was my first pro ball 4th of July game, so it was something that I'll always remember.
I think the Dash posted on Twitter, was their third largest crowd or something, or biggest crowd or whatever. It was over 8,000 people.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, people were like, oh, I filled the concourse area and like the berm, the grass berm area. It was crazy. It was like fun.
That's awesome. That must be a lot of fun playing in front of all those fans. So, let's get into it. I mean, you know, last season I saw you play quite a few times in Kannapolis, and then this year now you're up at Winston-Salem. So before we get into, you know, any specifics or stuff, you know, what's been the biggest difference for you moving from Kannapolis to Winston-Salem?
Yeah, I would say, 100% the mental side of the game. Learning as a professional who, you know, plays every day, you have to learn to be able to perfect your mental side. For me, much more than I need to learn how to perfect my, physical skill set side, you know. And that was something that I really got introduced to me Winston. You know, I played well in Kannapolis, you know, having fun, loved the guys, great environment. Then you know, you go to a different place and it's easy to get locked up and, you know, you're just not used to everything. You're different teammates, everything's different, you know, and you're not having the success you want. It's easy to get real mental, to start questioning things, want to change things. But a lot of times that's not the way to go about it. And so it's just, man, a huge thing that I've learned coming from Winston now. I've been here for a little while now. It's just the mental side of the game as a professional baseball player is so much more than I ever thought it was.
So when you do go through struggles or adjusting to that on that mental side of it, what do you do? Do you mm-hmm. just take time to yourself, or how do you mm-hmm. how have you adjusted to that, I guess?
Right. Well, for me, the grace of God is of utmost importance, because it puts everything in perspective, and you don't look for joy in the game. You're gaining it from the real source of joy. That's a big one for me. But more practically speaking, you can't get wrapped up in it. You know, it's like, so you went 0-for-5 and you feel terrible at the place, put it that way. And, you know, you have a game at 7 o'clock today when you wake up, you know. It's the guys who are able to push all those negative thoughts aside, get back to enjoying the game, stand on the confidence they have in themselves, and go out and play with their mind not hindering their ability. It's guys who are able to do that every day, even said and done, man. But it's guys who are able to do that, they're able to be consistent and, you know, play for a long time. But this is something that has to be learned. It has to be repeated over and over again before you, in my opinion, become good at it, you know, because it's not a natural thing to do. Naturally, we want to worry. We want to be anxious. We want to try to analyze, you know, but that's not the way I play best. And that's, for me, that's not the way I am able to be consistent every day.
In the batter's box, you know, it's been – just taking a look at some of these numbers and following you guys as much as possible. You know, you're in Kannapolis until, what, the end of April, I guess, and then, you know, I guess that last day of April. And then since then, you've been in Winston-Salem. So two-plus months, we'll call it, in high A. You mentioned the biggest thing is the mental aspect of it, but what about the competition you're facing? Obviously, as you move up, competition gets better, you know, all that stuff. But is there anything – what do you think, is it pitchers with more pitches that they're able to command, or what is it in the batter's box?
Man, honestly, it's just a tiny bit. There's an age difference, you know, when you go from low to high. But honestly, I mean, the ability is the same. You're still going to get dudes that throw mid 90s. You're going to get dudes with power sliders. You know, I would say you have a little more of them in high A, but you know, they're a little older too, so they're going to be, they're going to have a little more experience, you know. You're going to probably see a little more off speed, but man, for the most part, I mean, I can't stress it enough to you. Baseball is baseball, you know, and a 94, 96 mile an hour fastball is the same at all levels, whether you're in the all-star game, you know, still very difficult to hit. And that's what I think some people don't understand. It's like, yeah, you're an A ball, but I mean, this dude's throwing 97 with the 86 mile an hour slider. That's very difficult, you know, to hit. I don't care who you are, you know. And that's just the game of baseball. That's professional baseball. Every level is going to be hard. But, you know, I believe the cream rises to the top.
That being said, you know, your approach to the plate is still the same, right?
It's the same, man. And that's a trick. That's a trick I had to also learn as well. It's not a trick, but it's just like, that's something that I think is a good lesson I had to learn. You don't necessarily have to change your approach. You really don't. You know, I remember Aaron Rowan, he told me when I first got to Winston, he was like, don't change anything. It's the same dudes. Just don't change anything. And, you know, I listened to him for the first few games and didn't have a ton of success. So I started, you know, trying to do too much and blah, blah, blah. But it's just all the process, man. It's just learning, maturing as a player. But he was right when he said that.
So how do you think it's going in the outfield for you? I know there's, you know, a lot of people, you know, take a look with Aloy coming up this year, then seeing what Robert's doing in Double A Birmingham. You know, so these guys are destined. I mean, obviously Aloy's already in left field, and then Robert obviously destined for the outfield in the south side. So, in terms of not comparing yourself to anybody else, but comparing yourself to yourself, where you were last year, defensively, arm strength, all of that good stuff. How do you think you're progressing?
Oh, I mean, being able to play, you know, in the outfield every day. I mean, how can you not get better? You know, with the role as an outfield coach, you know, I just feel like I've learned so much. It's when it comes to getting jumps, or it comes to the flight of the ball, because it's such a long throw, how to get the backspin on it. It's little things where you just become better and better at, and you just don't take it for granted. But obviously, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great outfielders in this organization, but it just makes you better when you go to spring training you know, when they get us together in the off season, it just makes you better, man. So you welcome the competition.
So where obviously you'll progress it and you'll play wherever you play in the outfield, wherever you can get your shot, you know, as you move up. But what outfield position are you the most comfortable in?
Oh man, I mean, honestly, I don't analyze as much. So for me, I mean, I've actually played all the outfield positions, and you know, they're not much different. They're really not. Center field is nice because you have authority. So you're able to call anyone off, and you don't have to really worry about, like, oh, am I going to get called off here, you know? but, you know, as far as the outfield position goes, I mean, at the end of the day, your job is to catch the ball. Yeah, in left, you're going to get some different spin. In right, you're going to get some different spin. You know, sometimes in center, it's hard to tell on a line drive if it's going to be over your head or he didn't hit it well. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you trust your instincts, you know, go catch the ball, trust your athleticism. That's always served me well.
So it's, what is it, July 5th now? You've got, what is it, like a little less, I guess you should say, less than 2 months left of the minor league season, you know, without the playoffs and everything like that. So these last 2 months, you know, obviously, you know, the cliche, you want to get better every day and, you know, all that good stuff and help your team win. But for you individually, I guess, over these next 2 months, what are you really focusing on, working on, and what are kind of your goals, I guess, these last 2 months?
Yeah, man, my goals are never going to be result-oriented, man, because when they're result-oriented, you put yourself in a situation where it's like, I'm either going to be disappointed or I'm going to be happy, you know, and what does that leave you? It leaves you on a roller coaster. And that's something you want to stay off on as a baseball player. So for me, man, my goals are just to keep my mentality, you know, without getting into it, to keep my mentality stable, you know, just to keep it consistent, unwavering. these last 2 months. Obviously, you want to finish strong, but everyone does, you know. So for me, it's my mentality. It's my mindset into each at bat. Just keep it consistent and really hone in on what gets me ready to play every day. You know, hone in on what I feel best. You know, even when I don't feel good, what can even get me, you know, to a spot where I can give the best that I have that day. You know, it's more mental for me instead of a physical adjustment, all that kind of stuff.
A couple more things, and I'll let you go. Some of these other players on your team, some of these pitchers that are, you know, throwing for you guys. I mean, I got to know Cade pretty well last year, and he's, you know, he's back from his injury, and he's pitching pretty darn well. You know, some of these other guys, you know, Will in the relief spots. Two guys though I have not seen in person, Connor and Jonathan. These two guys joined the organization, you know, last year. So I guess for some of the fans out there that have not seen those two guys yet, what do those guys really bring to the table for you?
Oh my goodness. I mean, Stever, he pitched last night and his stuff can be literally overpowering. I mean, his fastball is mid-90s and his curveball is just like a straight hammer, you know? So he has the ability to just make you look bad, you know, that kind of talent, you know, and Pilk. Every time Pilk gets on the mound, his tempo, his rhythm, the way he locates, the way he just manipulates hitters. It's just, I always love it when he pitches, man, because it's just, you know, it's going to be boom, 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 boom. He's going to attack guys. He's going to get his outs. He's going to make his pitches. Those two arms in our rotation are phenomenal, and I love it when they're on the mound.
You throw Cade in there, and that's a pretty darn good rotation. Obviously, those other guys, you know. Then another name, of course, fans of the people that follow the Sox organization, they're happy he's back is Tyler Johnson, man. That kid can throw the baseball.
Oh, he can, man. He can rev it up, man. He can rev it. It's good to see him healthy.
He's also a very, very good dude as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Glad to have him on the team.
So yeah. Last thing before I let you go, some of the fans that, you know, I guess have been following you here and there, maybe not as much. Maybe they're just starting to kind of get their eyes and ears on Steele Walker. What's something that, you know, some Sox fans need to know about Steele Walker as a person and as a ball player as you progress?
Man, I feel like I'm too unique to just tell them, you know, in a sentence, you know, who I am or what they can expect, you know. I guess I'll just leave it at that. You know, I guess we'll see soon. You know, that I'm going to keep on this journey and see where God takes me. And, you know, in the next decade, we'll see where that goes. And hopefully they can get to know me even more.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time. Best of luck. I'm actually headed down to North Carolina at the end of this month. So unless you move it up to Birmingham, I'll see you then. All right.
Okay, man. That sounds good, brother.
Appreciate your time, dude. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Steele Walker, White Sox outfield prospect down in Winston-Salem now. He is, you know, one of the handful of interesting outfield prospects the Sox have. Hopefully see Steele rise to the ranks sooner rather than later. And best of luck to him. Once again, thanks to Steele for his time today. That's been another Future Sox podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff, @FutureSox.